You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Is Hungary happy with 3 points out of three games? Should the Scottish have had a penalty? Do football fans mistake Orban the player for the politician? And what does the phrase "not to have a rat's chance in hell" mean? Hello everyone, welcome back to the Footglish podcast. My name is Denek Lucas and this is a podcast about football which can help you learn English. It's your companion to learn English via football. And today I'm going to talk about, as always, the Euros. And this time I will be covering the Hungarian team. And for that, I've invited onto the podcast Tommy. Hi Tommy, how are you?
Yes. Thank you, Teacher Z. I'm good. I'm more than good. Being invited onto a podcast is so wonderful because usually it's me doing it from your side, and instead I'm on the other side of the podcast, which I find wonderful. And the irony that you've got me on as a half Hungarian to talk about the Hungarian football team is that you won't get me talking much about it.
Well, I was hoping I would. That was the idea. So if you
I'll do my best, if you only tell us
half of what a Hungarian football fan would tell us, it's still okay because you are half Hungarian, right? So you're half English. I can tell by the accent. You're half British, half Hungarian. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. That's it. Yep.
Okay. And unfortunately, I've got loads of English people that I can talk to about the English team, but no Hungarian people to talk to about the Hungarian team. So you have that job, if that's okay. To be fair, it might be the better job out of the two.
I'm good for it. I don't mind what, you know, I don't mind what you throw at me. I will give you half as good as anyone will give you, but then the other half will be just as good. So technically speaking, you're getting 100% out of it either way.
Oh, and I forgot to say, it's not a job. You're not getting paid, but you can mention your podcast if you want.
You cheek! You bring me on here.
I did not promise anything, I swear.
By the way, if anyone's watching this, and I know there are lots of you watching this, Teacher Zdenek promised me 2,000 euros for this. So, you know, now's the time to go up in arms and say it's not right. But no, I'm kidding.
Actually, it was 2,024 euros.
That's it, because it's Euro 2024. And exactly. So go on. What's your first question you've got for me then, Teacher Zdenek, dude?
My first question is, how do you rate the Hungarian performances so far at the Euros? So you've got 3 games in the group stage, right? Three points under your belt. Is that good enough?
Well, I mean, look, put it this way. You know, it was very smash and grab against the Scottish. I didn't watch the game personally, you know. But from the other performances that I saw from the Hungarians against the Swiss and against the Germans, they were cut open really easily. You know, they were seriously cut open. And going forward, it felt like they were always relying on one player, Dominic Szoboszlai from Liverpool. Yep. It felt like every time the ball was going forward, they were looking for him. And, you know, it had a sort of feeling like Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo, with Argentina and Leo Messi, that you're always looking for your talisman to take you forward. And it felt that every time that ball did get to him, there was no, that everyone stopped. And it felt like, okay, we're waiting for you to do your magic now, Dominic. Yeah. Let's get on with it. You know, let's see what you can do. And then when he did do his magic, and when he did get past that defender, when he did try and move the ball a bit quicker, the rest of the team are not as good as him.
Yeah. You know, this is the problem. This is the problem when you have teams of one player, right? We have we've heard this expression before, and it looks like it's you now, even though I'm a bit surprised, because I thought in the recent years the Hungarian football has gone up. It's the second time in a row you're at the Euros as well, which wasn't always the case, right? Yep. Two back-to-back participations in this tournament.
What's interesting is that the Hungarians have gone unbeaten for what I think about 18 months, 2 years perhaps. And, you know, that included a very big surprise win against England in the Nations League at Wembley, where they completely, you know, where they completely played them off the park that night. And, you know, people are comparing it to the golden generation, the Magic Magyars, the, you know, the golden generation of the 50s. But if you're going to put it up against the likes of Puskás, if you're going to like put it up against the likes of Hidekuti, this batch of players do not have the same caliber as the golden generation of the 50s.
What do you think would happen if England were to play Hungary at this tournament? I mean, it could still happen.
The chances of Hungary going through are, you know, a rat's tail's chance in hell, if you want to give it that chance.
There is a chance, though. There is a chance because it depends on the other two groups, right?
If your nation, Czechia, decides to throw the towel in early tonight, 26th of June, 2024, then Hungary are on their way to the knockout stages of the European Championships. Mm-hmm. And should Hungary make it to the next, should Hungary get that far, it would be a sign that Hungarian football is going in the right direction. It is going in the right
direction. Hang on. Are you telling me that it depends on the performance of the Czech Republic team, whether Hungary is going in the right direction or not? There's too much responsibility on our shoulders. Too much weight.
But what I'm going to say is here. What I'm going to say is, if I put the Czechia team up against the Hungarians and compare them 1-1, I don't think the Hungarians have a rat's tails chance in hell of even being able to beat Czechia. But if I look at your performances, and I'm not, you know, nothing against the Czech Republic, nothing against your team, because you've got some quality players. Patrick Schick up top seems to know where the goal is. It just seems that there is this sort of imbalance in certain areas, whether that be up top, whether that be in midfield, whether that be in defence. If you want me to compare Hungary, I put Hungary in about League One in British football,
and Czechia in League Two.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got Patrick Schick up top, like I said.
Yeah,
and for me, he looks, when he plays, and when he plays to his highest caliber, he is, I would say, a lower Premier League player. He would make it in the lower Premier League. Generally speaking, though, both teams, Czechia and Hungary, are probably League One teams.
Yeah, similar level. I agree. Well, you said that you hadn't watched the Scotland Hungary game, but I can assume that you've seen the highlights at least.
Of course. I mean, I have to say, well, if you want to call them highlights, so to speak, I'd be calling them more lowlights, if anything.
I have three moments from that game that were noticeable, yeah?
Yeah.
The penalty appeal by Scotland, the injury to Barnabás Varga, and the goal you scored to win the game. Let's talk about them in a chronological order. So I think the penalty shout happened first.
Yeah.
So did the Scottish have any leg to stand on in the penalty?
I'm gonna put it this way. In my over 20 years of watching football, I've seen them given, I've seen them not given. And you have to remember that we now have We now have VAR.
Yeah.
And I understand the qualm of Steve Clark after the match where he said, why hasn't he taken it to VAR? Why is VAR not even looking at it? I understand it. At the same time, it feels more like a bitter rant from a manager who knows that his team, generally speaking, in the course of the European Championships, have not done enough. They were ripped to pieces against the Germans, although technically speaking, the red card and the penalty on the opening night against Germany was incredibly harsh, if you want to call it that. Against the Swiss, they were lucky to come out with anything. And against Hungarians, well, you know, like I said at the beginning, it's more a smash and grab sort of job. But generally speaking, it's more, in my opinion, the rant of a man who knows his team has not performed on the stage and have probably got, well, stage fright, if you want to call it that.
So basically, it's one of those, if referee had given it, it wouldn't have been overturned.
You know, like I said, you've seen them given, but you've also seen that they're not being given. And, you know, generally speaking, as an Englishman myself, I was happy to see the Scots go home. You know, there's this sort of, there is a rivalry between the English and the Scottish. There always will be. And I was happy to see them, you know, pack their bags early, so to speak.
To be fair, they did not really pull out any threes and they deserve to be knocked out. But what about as a Hungarian then?
As a Hungarian, I mean, Hungary and Scotland don't really have a rivalry. You know, there's no sort of bitterness between the two countries. I personally think it is what it is. And we need to move on from it.
So it was you think it was a fair challenge and it was right for the referee?
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm sort of being here very diplomatic and trying to stay on the right side of the law here and say, I've seen them given, but I've seen them not given at the same time. So
I guess that's what you hear from a person who is half English and half Hungarian. If I ask you the question, was it a penalty or not? You just won't say anything.
I will not give you an answer on it. I will not be duped into giving you an answer on it.
Thank God you're not a referee then. And you're a guest on the podcast because we are okay with this. We are okay with this. So then we have got the second moment, which was a horrific injury to your player, Barnabás Varga. So that didn't look good at all.
The moment that you see it, every time you see it in every angle you look at it from, it gets worse and worse. It gets to the point where you're sort of hiding behind the sofa drop. What was interesting was that Dominik Szoboszlai, after the match, said that the medics had come on too late.
Yeah.
UEFA reacts by saying the 15-second protocol was brought, you know, 15-second protocol was held and there was no, there was nothing wrong with what happened. Mm. But the injury itself is obviously incredibly, you know, it makes you want to sort of hide behind a sofa. It is really, every angle you look at it from, it gets worse and worse.
To be fair, I'm even surprised you've seen it. It's possible that in your country it's not censored, but in my country they were not showing any replays of that. So I don't even know what exactly happened there, to be fair, because I was watching the game, so I should have probably seen it in real time. But you know, these things happen really quickly, or you get distracted. You're not exactly paying attention, and then obviously the players were surrounded the guy was lying on the floor. It looked like that moment we had with Christian Eriksen three years ago.
And
they also put like a canvas around him, like a canvas. Yes. And then, as you said, Dominik Szoboszlai. Yeah. So that was a moment. The medical staff. I believe this is not the Hungarian medical staff.
No.
I was told these guys are from UEFA. So yeah. they were walking at a normal pace towards the injured player. So then Dominik Szoboszlai, when he saw that, he got mad and grabbed them by their shirts and the stretcher and just took, come on, guys, what are you doing? Why are you so slow? So it looked like the commentator was actually praising this. So it looked like he had a point, obviously.
What I'm saying is that the comment for me sounded as if it was coming from a political side. It sounded like it was a politically sort of political jab, if you want to say it, at anyone and everyone. You know, sort of like poking a finger, yes, the medics could have gone quicker. Yes, they could have perhaps brought that stretcher on a little quicker. But at the same time, it felt like it was more of a politically motivated jab at UEFA for not doing what they were meant to do properly. But generally speaking, they did their job. And now Vardegaard has woken up. He was able to take a selfie with the nurses and the doctors and everyone else. And it seems as though he's now relatively healthy at least. Yeah,
he's got a broken is it collarbone or cheekbone?
Cheekbone.
Yeah,
which that is a big one. You know, that is a really that's a nasty injury. So you know, hope he gets better from it. The goal. I know you're going to ask me about the goal.
Yeah, I have to.
I'm just going to put it out there. Like I've been saying for the whole time, it's a smash and grab job. You know, a quick counterattack followed by a quick goal up the other end. And you think to yourself, could there have been maybe better defending? Could it have been maybe better defended at the corner, you know, at that set play? You just think that because the Scottish needed something out of that game, they were throwing literally everything at it. So obviously, and this is like the Georgia game against Turkey, where they were 2-1 down and they, you know, last minute they bring their keeper up and then Turks go up the other end and they score a goal. It feels like things could have been different.
Yeah, no, it makes sense because this is not the way the Scottish play. And they, as you said, they literally threw a kitchen sink at them at that point. And so they had nothing to lose.
No.
And they had to do something. So, but for Hungary, that was a window for the opportunity to get it done themselves. And they needed it. Oh boy, they needed it as well. Now they have a chance. Now they have a little chance, right?
And like I said, it's a rat's tail chance in hell that it's going to happen. To have Hungary go through to the next round would be nice because you see a smaller team getting through to the next round. But on the other side, it's then got you've got the propaganda side from politics, which I'm not going to go into. But, you know, that the Hungarian politics can then use this as a sort of machine to make ends meet, so to speak.
So that's Orbán, obviously. And yeah. not my favorite person. I can see not your favorite person either, which I'm glad we agree on. But this is not a political podcast. But funnily enough, I've noticed there is also a player in the team called Orbán. So I want to ask you this last question. Do people actually mistake Orbán the politician for Orbán the player? Or does everyone know that the politician isn't actually playing for Hungary in the Euros?
Well, the thing is, Orbán the politician played football when he was younger. Hmm. And he apparently is a big football fan. He likes his football. And, you know, everything he does with football is for him like a, you know, is a propaganda machine.
Well, he built a fantastic stadium, for example. Yes.
In his hometown, he built, a stadium which would probably be better placed in the Premier League than in Hungary.
Not obviously with his own hands. I mean, he had people build it for him, right?
He had people build it with their, you know, with their sort of, you know, with their... whatever it was that they did, you know, I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of that, just in case the politician is listening to this and has a fetish for suing me.
But we don't want this podcast to be cancelled in Hungary either, you know. So,
but generally speaking, I would say that there have been memes. I have seen memes of it, you know, of is this guy really the politician, or is this guy really the footballer? But generally speaking, I don't think people in Hungary make that mistake. If at all, it would come from outside. It would come from the UK. It would come from other countries who are sort of a bit less, who don't know that, you know, who don't, haven't done their research about it. But you can see why people would make that judgment on it and would find it funny to do that.
Well, he's much older, obviously. He would be too slow for the game. Yeah.
The guy makes me look like an anorexic Zenek. So, you know, let's just put it that way.
Well, that is a fantastic end to this podcast. Again, you're one of those that I cannot exactly say good luck to you, unfortunately, because the only way you go through is if basically you need the Czech Republic to draw or lose, and Portugal to beat Georgia as well, or draw at least. So I cannot say good luck to you. I'm sorry. But if by any chance we manage to lose to Turkey, which is a possibility, of course, we are not at our best as well, then I guess good luck to you. But not before this happens, please.
Well, I would like to say one thing. Thank you for getting me on here to talk about this side of football, and I would say good luck to you tonight and break a leg, but I wouldn't want to wish that even on my worst enemy. So let's just leave it at let the best team win and the worst team lose, and if that means that Czech Republic do not go through to the next round and Hungary do, then it's been a pleasure seeing the Czech Republic flounder again in the European Championship.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will see. We will see what happens. Thank you very much, Tommy, and take care. Bye-bye. Welcome back. In this part of the show, I'm going to teach you something because, as you know, I'm an English teacher, so I have to do my job, right? Okay, so this time we are looking at three fixed phrases, three idioms, or idiomatic phrases, if you want. These are really hard to remember and to learn because there are so many of them. If you look at the individual words in those phrases, they have completely different meaning from the meaning of the whole phrase. So it takes time to really get these into your own English language sort of lexicon, right? Now, in this episode, there were plenty of them coming from Tommy. He said, "It was a very smash and grab against Scotland." Or you can say, "It was a smash and grab victory." Now, smash and grab, I believe originally it was used for a robbery. Yeah, a robbery when you have got some guys covered in hoods, or they have balaclavas or what have you, and they go and rob a bank or a shop or even a car. And they break the window quickly, and then they take whatever they can. They don't stay there for a long time. They just take it quickly and leave, right? So in a similar way, when you talk about a smash and grab victory, usually it is used to talk about an underdog in the game, someone who doesn't have many opportunities in that game and usually is under pressure, has fewer attempts on goal and is the worst team generally, but still somehow managing to win the game, probably with the last chance, a goal scored in the last minute or something, then we can talk about a smash and grab win, a smash and grab victory. So that's what basically Tommy was saying here, that the Scottish were maybe better or not worse than Hungary, and then Hungary just score one goal from one chance at the end of the game and they won it, right? It was a smash and grab victory. Right. Then we were talking about hypothetical match between Czechia and Hungary. And Tommy said, "I don't think Hungary have a rat's tail chance in hell to beat Czechia." What this means is that Hungary don't have a chance to beat the Czech Republic at all. So this is an interesting idiom. I think the original idiom is to not to have a snowball's chance in hell, right? Because a snowball, of course, if you expose it to very warm conditions, right? If you put it in hell, there's a lot of
fire and it's high temperature, if you put a snowball there, it's going to melt immediately. So the snowball doesn't have a chance at all, right? So that was the original idiom. But then I think people started using different words instead of the word snowball. For example, some people say, not a cat's chance in hell to do something or for something to happen. And Tommy used another alternative, not a rat's chance in hell. It means that the rat has no chance to survive in hell, basically. Yeah. And if you can use it metaphorically to talk about football, right? If a team doesn't have a rat's chance in hell to win the game, that means that they are the strong underdogs. Yeah. They are not given many chances at all. Okay, so that's a fun idiom for sure. And then we have got one more, and that one, I use that one. When we were talking about the Scottish penalty appeal, that's when the Scottish wanted a penalty for an incident in the penalty box. And I wanted to know what Tommy's opinion is. So I asked him, did the Scottish have a leg to stand on? So that's another interesting idiom. To have a leg to stand on. Basically, that means, did the Scottish have any good arguments to support this appeal? Did they wanted a penalty, right? What for? What for? Was that a foul, really? Because it was kind of 50-50, that challenge. So did they have enough arguments to support their position? Could they prove it? So if you don't have a leg to stand on, usually it's used in this negative way, then you just basically, you don't have a clue. You don't know. Like, you don't have any arguments. You can't prove what you are saying. Okay? So that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Footglish podcast. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can do this on your favorite podcasting app. Wherever you listen to your podcast, it should be available there. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.